Okay, welcome to another episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Welcome back, Diane. How was your weekend?
It was great. Yours?
Pretty good. It could have been better. You know, we had a tough game against Laval on Friday night, but we'll get into that in a second. On this week's episode of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman, in the Meet a Gator segment, we're going to be joined by Layla Mahoubi, a first-year student-athlete from Quebec City. And we have our special guest is Dr. Jackie Bailey, former Lady Gator and former Dean of Student Services at Bishop. So we have a pretty good show lined up. In our wrap-up, we'll talk a bit about what's coming up in the coming weeks. We'll talk about our Christmas tournament that's coming up at the end of December. But first, we're going to recap our game against Laval. Diane, what was the score against Laval on Friday night?
So we lost 52-57.
So we lost 57-52, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Leading scorer?
For us, it was Mara Melchizotti with 12 points and 14 rebounds, and Ashley Milom with 12 points and 7 rebounds.
Okay, what about Laval? Who heard us from Laval? Sarah Jane Marois, I think, had 16.
Yeah.
And, Jane Gagné had 14 and Sarah Jane had 16.
Correct.
Yeah. Just to recap that game, number one, it was a terrific game. All right, as a coach, it was very intense for 40 minutes. It was close throughout. I think, Laval took a lead early at halftime. I think we were up 3 at the end of three quarters. It was tight again, and Laval outscored us by 10 points in the fourth quarter. That was a game. We were up 5 at the end of 3. They outscored us by 10 points in the last quarter. To be honest, I think as a coach, again, I have to take some responsibility. When we lose, it goes on the coach. When we win, it's on the players. I think I've taken this team I think we're a good team now. We've got to take the next step to being a very good team. We're now competing with top 10 teams in the country, but we're coming up short, all right? And, the coach has got to, I've got to find a way to help our players deal with high-stress situations and execute under pressure in extreme conditions. And that's the next step we got to take. I think that our girls had trouble down the stretch, and I think, again, it's part of the process, Diane, you know?
Yeah, correct.
And you know what? I felt really bad for them because I thought that they prepared well. I thought we knew Laval's stuff, but Laval made plays down the stretch, and they've been there before. They were in the national championship game last year. And by no means am I making excuses. You know, I think you got to learn how to lose before you learn how to win. And, we're going to sort that stuff out. And, it's unfortunate. Sometimes your heart gets broken, and I think that the girls were genuinely disappointed. The locker room was very somber after the game, and there was not much I could say to comfort them, but it's a beautiful lesson with sports. You don't always get what you think you deserve, but I think we're exactly where we should be at this point in our in rebuilding this program, and we're excited about the second semester, and we're just going to have to lick our wounds for a couple of weeks, and our next game is against Laval, which will be our fifth conference game in a row against a top 10 opponent. In the end, Laval was in the national championship game last year. They come into our gym. We beat them 2 weeks ago. We go neck and neck with them for 40 minutes, and we lose to a quality program in the last minute of the game. I could live with that.
Yeah.
Diane, what about you?
Yeah, I can live with that.
As an assistant coach, Diane, who lives with some of the girls, how do you feel they're handling, the defeat? And do you think that we could bounce back from it?
Yeah, I think we could bounce back. They're all concerned about what they've done, and they're all trying to get better. So I think we're moving in the right step.
I talked to the girls a bit this morning about, how do you gauge an athlete's will to win, all right? And mentally, what are we doing to get better each and every day, So we're going to challenge them in the next couple of weeks. And they've answered every challenge I've given them this week. So again, that game the other night was an opportunity to learn and grow. All right, so that wraps up the first, the intro segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We're going to be right back with Layla Mahoubi.
Hey, kids, take the first takes. Ain't that some interpretation? When Sinatra sings against Nelson Riddle strings, and then takes a vacation.
All right, welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. This is our Meet a Gator segment. We're fortunate to be joined today by Miss Layla Mahoubi from Quebec City, a 5'1 point guard. She's a walk-on student athlete, and that's kind of a special thing at the university level. You don't get a lot of kids who manage to walk on at a university level team and make the roster, the playing roster. Layla Mahoubi is a special young lady. Last year, she must have contacted me 3 or 4 times. She sent me a letter. She phoned me. She got her coach to phone me. She contacted me numerous times asking for if I had a spot on my roster for her. I checked which college she went to, and we were trying to build a program. I thought there's no way this girl could help us. Eventually, she broke me down, and she showed up, and I worked her out, and I was impressed with her basketball IQ. I was impressed with her work ethic, and basically, she gave me no choice but to let her be part of our program, and we're fortunate to have her with us today. Layla, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Coach.
Layla is studying biochemistry. All right, and let me just go on a bit more about what it means to be a walk-on. The biggest part of my job as a coach at the university level is recruiting. All right, I have to coaches do not win games; players win games. All right, and I have to find a way to attract elite level student athletes to come into the program. And there's recruiting services. There's a whole network of what coaches do to get players. All right, so it's rare that someone shows up at your university that's going to change your program. All right, so I want everybody to know out there that we're grateful and we're fortunate to have Layla Mahoubi in our program. Now, Layla, where did you grow up, and when did you start playing basketball?
Well, I grew up in a town. It's called Elmer. It's near Ottawa.
Elmer, Quebec.
Elmer, Gatineau, Quebec. Okay. Yes, yes. And I started around, like, it's my 13 years playing basketball. So I was 7, so maybe like 2-3 grades elementary school. That's when I started playing basketball.
And you love basketball right from the get-go?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
Now, where did you go to Cégep?
I went to a little cégep, a private one. It's called Collège Mérici in Quebec, and it's really small.
Yeah. Now, it's a Division II school, and it's a small school.
Yeah.
And I think you were fortunate there because you had a coach who cared, I think. And he contacted me a number of times. What kind of impact did he have on your development?
Well, what kind of impact? All the impact, the best impact I could have. I mean, he, like you just say, he cares about me, and that's made the difference between, like, if I continue to play or if I stop to play, and he kept me going, and I'm there because of him, because of them, because there are many. There have, like, 3 coaches there that really work with me, so.
Now, how did you end up at Bishop's University?
How did I end up at Bishop? Well, when I stopped college, it was, like, no clue for me that I would stop basketball. So it's when...
Did you think that your basketball career was over?
No, I was sad because it was over, but inside of me, I was like, no, there's no way it's going
to
end.
You had a drive to continue to play.
Exact. So, like, I wanted to be recruited by a new university throughout my years. Of course, like, my college is not that much, it's not a big school.
It's not a recognized program.
Exact. So it was tough, but with the help of my coach, I keep myself in shape. I sent some message, and eventually Coach Craig...
Well, let me rephrase, okay? Because I think that I think you know, people don't understand the incredible journey that you've been on, and I think every young girl, you know, who plays at this level has an incredible story to tell. So I'm wondering if you could talk about your incredible journey and the dream to play elite level basketball and some of the challenges that you faced.
I mean, of course, it's incredible to live your dream. I mean, everybody want to live his dream, but as you said, it's come with, like, challenge and obstacle. And I mean, for me, there's, like, 3 major obstacles, I think, throughout my years of basketball. The first one would be my height, because I have to stand out with all the tall people, all the tall player. I have to be quicker. I have to be more intense. I have to dribble the ball better. I have to see the court better. So, of course, that one obstacle. The second one would be, like, to always be confident. I mean, I am confident. I mean, I showed up at the gym. If I was not confident, I wouldn't come. But it's to always be confident. That's the part. That's the tough part. And I still struggle because there's something there that I don't, there's certain days that I don't know if I am capable of it. And I have to keep in mind that, okay, you're at the right place, you know you can do it, and just keep confidence. And the third one will be to take my place. Like, I have to gain the respect of my teammates, of my coach, and take my place so eventually I can play at the level that I want to play.
Yeah. I mean, those are some great thoughts, by the way. And I think you're doing a terrific job. And I think that you've been an absolutely positive influence on your teammates. And I think you've established yourself as a key member of our team, whether you know, that's on the score sheet or it's not on the score sheet. Now, I'm wondering, you know, what were some of the initial challenges you faced with making the jump from Division II Seja basketball to university basketball and playing in the top league in the country?
I mean, I think that one of the major challenge or the step that I realized that I was the biggest, I think it's the rigorous and the exigent training that we have to do. Like every day you wake up, you have to give your 100%, 110%. Even if you don't want to, you have to find a way to work hard. And sometimes there's days that you don't want to, but being an elite player, that's your job. Like there's no choice. You just have to do it. So I think that's one of the challenge. And also the commitment that I have to be like in the basketball, but also for my community. That's something that I didn't have to face when I was in college Division II when I played there. So like those are some of the things that.
Now, what are you studying at Bishop's University, and how do you balance the academics and the athletics?
Well, what I'm studying, like as you said, I'm in biochemistry, and also I'm doing a minor in sports studies. And I pretty much dedicate all my time to those two things, schools and basketball. So, I mean, I have to be disciplined to not be late in my school. I have to discipline myself to sleep on a reasonable hour. So the next morning when I have a practice, I'm there and I can, like, I'm there and I can do it. But still, for me, what I found out is that I need to have something that is not linked to basketball and school, because I need to allow myself to not be always in a performance mode. So like it might be helping Diane with small ball. It might be spending a weekend with my family, because I mean, you know, you saw me. Sometimes I'm not balanced at all, and it's tough. And people can see it that I'm not balanced. My teammates can feel it. My coach can feel it, and even my family. So I have to take a step back and
like I noticed that, like you had a point a couple of weeks ago where I think you were overwhelmed, and I thought, you know, it was evident in your body language and how you were presenting yourself, and
yeah.
And I think me and you had a good talk, and we sorted stuff out, and I think one of the key things that we discussed that day was sometimes less is more.
Exactly.
All right. And I think that it's important to have that balance and that outlet. All right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great advice for young student athletes out there.
Yeah.
Now, can you talk a bit about some of your strengths and weaknesses on the court?
Well, on the court, I think that my strength as a point guard player, I think it's that I talk a lot. I want to make sure that everybody is on the same page. So whether it's to call the plays or talk in defense. Also, I see the plays really much. I think I can see well the plays and understand what's going to happen. But one of my biggest strengths, I think it's because I'm more like a player that will give all I have for my teammates. So I will always have their back, and I will always fight for my teammates.
There's absolutely no doubt that that's great self-awareness, and I think you do a great job in practice of communicating loud and vocal, and I think you're very inspirational to your teammates. Now, what do you consider to be your current role on the team?
I think my current role, of course, right now I just have to speed up my learning strategy, be more in shape, but I think my role is to support the team, to be there for the girl, to always cheer, and basically to be the best example I can be. So like always work hard, always be committed, always be engaged. So like the girls look at me and like just work with me, because I mean I think that's my role. It's to be the best example for the girls. So.
And I think you're doing a great job of that. And I think it's important for all you young student athletes out there to understand that I would imagine that Layla or anybody else sometimes is not always pleased with the role that they're given on a team. And their job is to embrace that role regardless, but to try to get better outside of that framework, and I think that you're doing a tremendous job at that. All right.
Thank you.
Can you please describe your experience at BU thus far? Like you know, just a brief summary of how things are going for you in your first year. That transition from moving away from home, playing high level basketball, studying in English, studying in biochemistry.
Yeah, I mean, if I can describe one word to describe my experience, it would be adaptation. It's a whole new adaptation that I have to face. As you said, it's first time being far from home, first time studying in English, first time like all the training. I'm not used to that. My body, adaptation would be like the best words to describe.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now, Leila?
Where do I see myself? I see myself still involved in the sport area. Like I link sport and the health science that I'm doing right now. So I think specifically with basketball, I think like with the 5 years that I will be, that I will spend with the at Bishop and like playing with basketball, I think I will gain experience to help another athlete to develop his full potential. So that's where
You're in biochemistry now. And yeah. From talking to you, like it seems like you want to go off and support athletes down the road in some fashion. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I want to do.
Given your unique journey, all right, where you've come from, the battles that you've fought to play at this level, all right, you've got to understand that you're an inspiration to a lot of young ladies out there. And I'm wondering, what advice could you give to somebody who wants to follow in your footsteps?
I mean, my advice, I think, would be you always got to be ready because you never know when an opportunity will come. So
beautiful.
Like all summer I trained because of something, because I wish that one coach would talk to me. So I was always ready. When I'm outside the court, I might not be like playing, but I always try to be ready because I never know when my name will be called and go on the court.
Now, Leila, we thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
I want you to know that we appreciate and we're grateful for all the hard work that you do, and we're very fortunate to have you in our program, and we wish you nothing but continued success on and off the court.
And hard knows the highway. I was torn down at the dad's place. I shaved head at the organ.
Welcome back to Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. We have a really special guest here today. We have a former Lady Gator, all right, Jackie Bailey, Dr. Jackie Bailey, who was also the Dean of Student Services at Bishop's. Welcome aboard here today, Jackie.
Thanks, Coach Norman.
Jackie played for the Lady Gators from 1991 to 95. She played for a couple of coaches. She played for Tony Kordick, and then she played for Coach Gilpin. And I think the program was in a rebuild phase, so she'll talk about a bit about that as we go along. But first off, Jackie, I just wanted to talk to you a bit about, when did you start playing basketball? I think it's a unique story. You started a bit late in your life, didn't you?
I did. I only started playing competitive basketball in grade 11 at high school, John Rennie High School in Pointe Claire.
And why is that?
Because in grade 7, I tried out for two different teams. I tried out for badminton and basketball, and I just loved racket sports. I really enjoyed racket sports, and I just ended up playing on the badminton team.
I mean, like, you know, starting at such a basketball is a high skill sport. I'm wondering, you know, starting at that late an age to go on to play at the university level must have been a challenge for you. How did you manage to sort that out?
It was. I played at John Abbott College with Coach Leeson Moore, and she was a great coach, and we had a great team, and I learned a lot at that level. I think I matured quite a lot just as a student athlete between ages of sort of 17 to 19. And then when I came to Bishop's, I loved our team, I loved my players, I loved my coaches, and I just kind of threw myself into competitive sport.
Now, you know, for all you listeners out there, John Abbott College in that time was probably one of the most elite programs in the country, correct? Like, I mean, when I played Sage Up basketball, John Abbott was winning national championships, and I think if you go to their gym, they have about six or seven national championship banners. Did you have success at John Abbott when you were there?
We were a strong team at John. Leeson had some great basketball teams at John Abbott, both on the men's and women's side. It's a really strong basketball program back in the day. Yeah. And so we had a strong, team.
Now, so you play at John Abbott. How did you end up at Bishop's University?
It's the only school I applied to. It's the only school I wanted to go to. I didn't even consider going anywhere else other than Bishop's.
Why?
I always wanted to have that kind of stereotypical small town undergraduate university experience where I lived on campus. I wanted to be far enough away from home that I could live on campus, but close enough that I could get back there for Thanksgiving and holidays. And so this was the perfect mix. And I loved our campus. I loved the programs. I loved the teams. It was honestly a perfect fit.
So were you recruited by Coach Gilpin, or were you a walk-on and you showed up and you made the team?
So at the time when I came, there was a transition from Andrea Blackwell, who played on our national women's basketball team for many, many years. She left, and then Tony Kordick, who also played on the national team for many teams, took over as the head coach. So I had conversations with Andrea Blackwell before she stepped down, and then I did meet Tony. But I wouldn't say that I was heavily recruited. I'd say that I was coming to Bishop's anyway. I reached out to the coaches. I said I'd like to be there, and it worked out.
Well, good for you. Can you talk a bit about your student-athlete experience at Bishop's University, like your four-year career?
Easily some of the best 4 years of my whole life. And part of being at Bishop's that made it so great was playing on our women's basketball team. I have my closest friends still to this day are from my first year as a student-athlete at Bishop's. I loved training. I loved competing. I loved my coaches. I loved the men's team. My best friends were on the men's team too. It was just all around an extraordinary experience.
So you met and you fostered long-term relationships based on your experience at Bishop's University.
Absolutely.
Like both in the classroom and on the court?
Yeah, I loved my roommate. She didn't play basketball. She was in business. I was in psychology. We're still in touch. Other people on different sports teams. The sporting community at Bishop's for me was really close. I knew people from every single team. I knew the coaches. So I still have very close friends from then.
Now, did you know when you came to Bishop's in the first year or two that you were going to go on to postgraduate studies? Because, I mean, obviously, you not only did a master's at McGill, but you then did a PhD at University of Alberta. And I'm wondering, you know, how did you balance the academics with the athletics? And when did you know that was going to be a potential path for you?
I knew in my third year of university that I wanted to go into graduate school. Psychology had been something I fell in love with at Cégep. When I took my first psychology class, it was like the pieces fit together and I realized that was what I wanted to do. And then at Bishop's, our psychology department is really strong and I had extraordinary teachers and I loved what I studied. I loved every single one of my psychology classes and really immersed myself in that. And it wasn't though until my third year when I tried some practicum that I really realized that I wanted to go forward potentially in a field of psychology and that would require a graduate program. So it was only really in my third year that I decided to go into graduate school.
Maybe you could touch a bit on, like, when I recruit student athletes, I try to like sell them on our undergraduate school. And I think you're a perfect example of a student athlete who did their undergraduate here and then went on to do postgraduate work elsewhere. Do you think Bishop's University is a good stepping stone academically for a student athlete?
I can say that in my experiences, having gone to both McGill and then the University of Alberta, that Bishop's prepared me significantly better than some of my colleagues in my classes at both programs, particularly classes related to research methodology, related to statistics, related to the foundations of psychology. I honestly, in my graduate programs, I knew what I was doing. I was really confident. And I think Bishop's prepared me really well because I got to work directly with the faculty members. I have publications from the time that I was an undergraduate student because of my work with Dr. McKelvey. Honestly, my understanding of statistics, which is pretty challenging sometimes for students, Dr. Stout at Bishop's makes it really accessible for students. I was very well prepared because of Bishop's.
Now, you end up at University of Alberta and you do a PhD and, you know, in talking to you and doing my research, I think you ran, like, can you talk a bit about, like, you know, some of the adversity you faced while trying to complete your PhD and how you combine that with some coaching in Alberta as well?
So going to the University of Alberta, there was a choice between that and a PhD in sports psychology at Nottingham Trent University. But I chose the U of A because it was a very applied program. And at that point, I realized I wanted to be a therapist. I wanted to be a psychologist. And this program was going to prepare me better for that. And then when I was in Alberta, I was fortunate enough to be a full-time assistant and then head coach of a college women's basketball team. I was fortunate enough to work part-time and then full-time. But in the beginning of my sixth year, I had a serious car accident, and I broke my neck in a car accident one night after basketball practice. So that kind of, you know, put a damper on things a little bit. I was hospitalized for a couple of days, and I was in a halo for 3 months, and it kind of changed my course for a little bit. But
how did you enjoy the coaching experience?
I loved it. I loved coaching women's basketball. It was an awesome experience. I love the girls. I love the program. I love the opportunity to coach at that level. It was wonderful.
So now, you spent 6 or 7 years out in Alberta, and I'm wondering how did it come to pass that you ended up back at Bishop's University? If you can just relay that little story we discussed.
I was actually in Alberta for close to 15 years. After I did my PhD, I became a registered psychologist. I had a private practice. I was working in hospitals. I met and married my husband. We had our children. We had a whole life in Alberta, and it was wonderful. We had a great life in Edmonton. And then one day I was walking my dog in the River Valley, and I looked in my email, and because I'm an alumni of our university, I received an email just saying that a new job was posted at Bishop's, and it was the Dean of Student Affairs. And I remember clearly phoning my husband and saying, "You'll never guess what job just got posted. I'm going to apply." He and I are both from smaller universities. He went to school at Mount Allison. We'd always loved the idea of being in a small university town where our kids could really be a member of the community, where sports and community life could be a big aspect of that. We didn't have any family in Western Canada. Both of us have family out here. And so we thought that I'd apply and we'd see what would happen.
Well, it's quite an incredible story. Now, we're going to get back. I want to try and ask you some questions, based on your expertise in psychology and your practice. You know, with student athletes now, I find stress management is an issue. And I'm wondering, like, any tips you could give to student athletes out there trying to manage stress management in terms of, you know, competing at a high level, balancing their academics? What are some things that you think would benefit them?
I think that for people in general, but particularly for student athletes at the university level now, the expectation from sport is significantly higher than maybe it was when I was even a student athlete. Students are expected to, you know, weight train, do dry land training, do off-season training, do in the gym training, watch film. Like, it's honestly almost like a full-time job. Plus, they're going to school. Plus, many of them do have part-time jobs to help supplement the cost of school. So they've got a lot. So for me, the advice would be to set realistic expectations on yourself about what you can accomplish, to try and establish a form of balance, because if one sort of falls, the rest kind of fall down also. But more than that is to have a community of support, have a strong support network underneath you, and ask for help when you need it, because you're not alone and you don't have to do it alone.
Can you maybe touch a bit on the difference between good and bad stress?
Well, everybody has stress in their life. Stress is a normal part of life, and stress actually motivates us to get things done. If you didn't have any stress at all whatsoever, you'd likely do nothing. So a good amount of stress is stress that's motivating, stress that you can still handle, stress that doesn't become debilitating. When it gets too high, though, we almost start to feel paralyzed, like we can't do anything. And that happens for lots of people. It's very common to experience significant stress and significant anxiety. So it's about noticing that balance and noticing the tipping point. And seriously, reaching out for help, figuring out what you can do to manage it, diminishing it as much as you possibly can.
Now, the other night, you know, like we're as a program, you know, the Lady Gators, we're I think we've taken some great strides, and I think we're now a pretty good team, and we're looking to become a very good team, and we're finding ourselves in situations where we're competing with the top teams in the country on a regular basis, and I felt the other night we had a difficult time dealing with high pressure situations down the stretch, and I'm wondering, How can athletes better manage that going forward?
The high pressure situations moment?
Yes.
Well, I think across the board, you need to identify what you can control and you need to identify what you can't. And then leave the things that you can't control. Too many of us spend too much time trying to control those things that are actually completely out of our control. So identify as a team, what can we control? Identify where your strengths are. People always do better when they work from their areas of strength. always. And then just focus on small steps. What's one thing that we can do now? How can we do this as a team? How can we get through? And you learn by doing. You learn by doing as a team. You learn by getting through adversity. Lots of research actually shows that resilience is built by people facing difficult situations, getting through them, and then looking back from the other side saying, I did that, or we did that together. We can do more.
So you think us playing in these very difficult situations is going to help us?
I think it's extraordinary. I think it's really, there's no point in playing in a game where you're winning by 30 points. Athletes don't lose a lot, nor is there a whole lot of point in being in games where you're getting blown out. Yeah. But being in close, tight games where the pressure is high and the stress is high, and you need to perform in those situations, that will absolutely build your character and build your team strength.
Now, how important do you think mental training is to an elite level athlete?
I think it's extraordinarily important. I think that honestly often defines the difference between the good athletes and the great athletes. Because at a certain level, physically, you're all great physical athletes. You're all really strong physical athletes. Wow. I remember when one of our football alumni, Tom Europe, came back to visit about 7 years ago. He got a top 10 after 10 award. And he has had a great career in the CFL, and then going on from there, he's had a really good business career. And when Tom was speaking to the student athletes, he said, guys, listen, in the locker room, we're all awesome physical athletes. All of us are incredible athletes. But what sets the excellent people apart from the good ones is your mental toughness, your mental strength, how you handle pressure. Also, how you take feedback from coaches, how you are in the team room, how you are with your teammates. And so developing the mental toughness as a student athlete, I think once you get to that elite level, is really important.
Well, I mean, that it's certainly great, great advice. And, you know, I think you could do some great work as a sports psychologist, to be honest, you know, like, hopefully we could have you talk to our team then in the future, because I think that that's some great words of wisdom. Now, before we go, I'm just wondering, what's next in line in the life of Dr. Jackie Bailey?
So since stepping away as my position as the Dean of Student Affairs, I've opened up a small private practice in Lenoxville as a registered psychologist. And so I've been able to get back to just therapeutic work, which I love. I also teach in a graduate program and a master's of counseling program through Athabasca University. And then this winter, I'm going to be teaching at Bishop's in the Department of Psychology.
Well, thank you so much for dropping by. We're very grateful for all you've done for the program and for Bishop's University, and we hope to see you at all our games in the second semester.
I'll be there. Thanks, Coach.
But I wasn't half as bad as it was, oh no. Belfast and Boston, Saints are hard times, drugs are bad, no time for you shine.
Okay, welcome back to the wrap-up segment of Time Out with Coach Craig Norman. Our first semester competitions are over, so the girls are in exam time now, so we have a bit of a downtime in terms of practice time. What we're doing this week is we're lifting as a team. If the girls have an exam on that particular day, they lift on their own. Next week, there's no basketball activity this week. I think the girls need a break. I think it's been a taxing first semester on them, and they need to concentrate on their academics, but we've got to stay physically in shape, so we're going to lift as a team this week, four times actually, and next week we'll have some optional practices and we'll continue to lift, and then we'll have a Christmas party, I think on December 17th, we'll have some turkey, we'll exchange some gifts, and then the girls can get back to their families, and they will be back practicing as a team on December 26th. We have a For the first time in a number of years, we're going to host our own tournament on December 29th and 30th. We have a great tournament at the Mitchell Gymnasium on December 29th. There's games at 2 and 4 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, McGill will play Ryerson University. And at 4 o'clock, Bishop's University will play UNB. The following day on December 30th, the games are at 1 and 3. At 1 o'clock, McGill will play UNB, and at 3 o'clock, Bishop's will play Ryerson. And it's kind of like a Quebec Conference challenge. We're not going to play McGill because we play them four times in conference. So It's going to be a really great tournament for the community. It's between Christmas and New Year's, and it's going to get us ready for the second semester. So we're hoping, you know, we can get some fans out for that. As far as action in the conference, the rest of the conference is off as well. And Diane, I'm wondering if, like, do you have the standings for the leagues?
Oh, yes. So there's a three-way tie for first place right now. With Miguel, Laval, and Concordia, they each have 3 wins.
Okay.
So we're in second place with 2 wins, and third place would be UCAM with no wins.
So right now, we're sitting in a playoff spot.
Exactly.
All right, hopefully we're going to improve on that. How about this ASIAP League? What's going on over there?
So on the past Friday, there were 3 games, and Edouard Montpetit won 61-31 versus Champlain Lennox. Montmorency won 61-46 versus Champlain St. Lambert, and Sainte-Foy won 50-38 versus Trois-Rivières. And on Sunday, Sainte-Foy played another game and they won 65-55 versus Vanier.
Okay, so what do you have the standings for the ASIAP League?
Yeah, so it's pretty much the same. So Dawson is still in first place with 7 wins, Montmorency second, Sainte-Foy third. Trois-Rivières 4th, Edouard Montpetit at 5th place, Vanier 6th, Champlain St. Lambert at 7th, and Champlain Lennoxville at 8th place.
Okay, so, you know, the Sage-Up shut it down for about 5 or 6 weeks at Christmas as well. So, you know, we're going to have, like, the next couple of weeks, our shows are, we're going to preview the tournament in depth on December 12th. Next week, what we're going to do on December 5th is we're going to recap our season thus far. We're going to review our preseason and our conference stuff and just talk about where the program's at. Now, Diane, do you have your coaching tip of the week this week?
Yes. So for this week, I wanted to talk about passing. So I want the coaching to teach and practice the basic passes when they're young, such as chest pass, bounce pass, and overhead pass. And you want to teach the kids how to get the ball, not to just stand and wait for the ball, to go get it. And also teach the kids to pass away from the defender, lead the player to safety. And lastly, to show the kids how to get open to get the ball, like the V-cut or L-cut.
It's great advice. And I think passing is a skill that is disappearing in today's game. And, you know, we try to limit turnovers, and I think the way you limit turnovers is learning how to pass the ball. So that's a great tip of the week. Now, the song of the day for today is another Van Morrison song, and it's entitled Hard Knows the Highway. And it's kind of a message where I think for our program, taking the next step is we're gonna have to hard nose the highway. We're gonna have to be pragmatic. We're gonna have to be determined in what we're doing. A line in the song, he talks about, in order to win, you have to be prepared to lose sometimes and leave one or two cards showing. And I think the beauty of playing sports is, like what happened to us against Laval is, you know, we wanted to win that game, but, you know, in the end, we had to be prepared to lose. And we did leave one or two cards showing. And those cards were, you know what, sometimes you lay it out on the line. The beauty of sports to me is that sometimes you do everything you can and you still come up short. And that's a beautiful thing. As a coach, there's the joy, there's the exhilarating joy you get from winning. And there's also that feeling of despair you get from losing. And I think you got to take one with the other. All right, so that's our show for this week. Diane, we'll see you next week. Great job.
Thanks, Coach.
Everybody out there, you know, you're going to have to watch some U.S. college basketball and some NBA for the next couple of weeks because we shut her down in Canada at this time. So we'll see you at the same time next week. Have a great week.
Your mouth is, then we can get something going. It'll all do the wind. You must be prepared to lose sometimes. time and leave one or two cards showing. Seen some part time, drawn some bad lines. No time for you, shine. And hard nosed highway. Further on up the road, it may not be today. It may be tomorrow. So if you live for today, you gotta keep in mind it may be tomorrow. Yes, further on up the road. Further on up. Up the road. This may have the hard nose. It'll hard nose. Just man.